Good day, friends. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with a program based upon what the Bible teaches. Those of you that have been listening to this program week after week know that we're talking about the Christian and the church. We have eight lessons that we've outlined under this caption, with the Ephesian epistle being used as a basis or a foundation for all our remarks. You know, we would encourage you to read the Ephesian epistle and to reflect upon the things we've been talking about, for we believe that these are timely topics for our present time. Heard a man say one time, we need timely topics for troubled times. And I think that type of caption does call to our mind the importance of being able to solve the problems with the answer that God can give us in His Word. We're going to talk about a subject this morning or today on the broadcast that I'm sure is going to be quite unpopular with some people, but we do want to say that we believe it's what the Bible teaches, and the Bible deals with the subject of the Christian and sin. You know, when you really come down to it, to convey the idea that when one is made free from sin in the original commitment, that that person can't so sin that he might be lost, is something that I question very seriously with the Bible before me. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, he that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. And then again we are told in Galatians 6 and 9, that we're not to become weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. So it shows that someone can faint. But someone says, well, an individual may commit sin, but I don't believe that he's going to be lost eternally. Well, we got to leave this up to God. I can understand how that you or I could make the final decision, and when I simply say that I don't believe the Bible teaches that we do not have to be concerned about our Christian life, I'm not rendering final judgment. This is just a conviction. You may have a conviction the other way, but let's keep the thought in mind that with your conviction and my conviction, whether they be the same or not, let's let the Bible offer the final say in the matter. The Bible serves as a proverbial referee in the game of life where we're dealing with these questions. What I'm referring to is found in the fifth chapter of the Ephesian epistle on the broadcast today. And I'd like to read in your hearing from this fifth chapter and at verse 11, where Paul says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So you see, we are to actually have no fellowship with sin, which is spoken of here as the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to reprove them. One point I think it should be brought out here, this doesn't indicate that we would isolate ourselves from sinners, that we'd have no contact with sinners. For the last part of that verse says, but rather reprove them. And I understand this conveys the idea to tell one his fault. So you see, we couldn't tell him his fault. We couldn't explain to him what we would understand to be wrong in his or her life if we did not have some contact with that person. But the point must definitely be looked upon as a point of fellowship. Now, the word fellowship conveys the idea of agreement. It conveys the idea of joint participation. It conveys the idea of harmony. Now, people may talk together, and yet they may not be in agreement. So in this sense, we understand people would not be in fellowship. It's quite possible that a person might look upon a certain religious practice as truly that which he could not be in fellowship with because he understands it to be contrary to the will of God. But the Christian and sin, let's realize as Christians that we are not immune from committing sin. That 25th chapter of Matthew shows us that the man who had that one talent that we've talked about before, not alone did he commit sin, and he was a servant of the Lord. He was in the service of the Lord. The Lord had given him the talent. The Lord realized he could handle it. I don't think he would have given a talent to someone who wasn't his service, his servant. He gave this talent to him because he was his servant. This indicates to us, as Christians, we are servants of God, according to Romans 6:18. So the Lord gives us that which we can use. Now, this man apparently lost his soul. He buried that talent when the master came. He brought it to him and presented it. He was called a wicked and slothful servant. And you'll understand when you read that accounting there that he was cast out. So this indicates that he lost his soul. This indicates that he truly found himself in a life of sin. So let's say as Christians today on the broadcast that we must be aware of the fact that the devil is walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I'm led to believe that when Peter wrote that, he was directing his remarks to Christians. You see, the sinners in the world are already ensnared by the devil. And the only way the Lord's going to be able to get them away from the grasp of the devil is to simply offer this teaching through the instrumentality of humans, such as ourselves and others upon this earth, to try to encourage people to come to Jesus Christ. You see, one of the meanings of the word church that we were talking about last week is the very idea of those who are called out. You see, they're called out and they're called into something. They're called out of sin. They're called into Christ Jesus. For Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest," as we have in Matthew 11:29. So what's the attitude the Christian must have towards sin? He must not uphold sin. He must not have fellowship with sin. Now, someone says, when you use the term sin, preacher, that can mean one thing to one person, can mean something else to another person. Well, I realize that. It's just like the word Christian. You see, some people look upon the word Christian and they've got a certain concept about it. Somebody else has altogether a different concept about the word Christian. So the only way this can be decided is what the Bible really teaches. So when does a person, in the case now of a Christian, become a sinner? In other words, he commits sin when he actually is recognized as a sinner. What really must be considered here? Well, James 1:25 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." And it was stated clear back in the Old Testament by the psalmist David, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." So you see, an individual is turned from sin. He's converted to Christ by obeying the gospel. Now, how's he going to live the Christian life? By following that same teaching. Paul made it quite clear in 2 Corinthians 5:7 when he said that we walk by faith and not by sight. And we've told you before that not alone is faith the thing that we have in our lives, but faith is also the thing that we believe. You say, how's that true? From the writing of Jude in verse 3, and you may want to check this reference out, there Jude told the brethren to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So the gospel in that sense must be looked upon as truly a faith, must be looked upon as faith. Now in Romans 3:27, he talks about the law of faith or the principle of faith. And again in James 1:25, he speaks about the perfect law of liberty. So you see, if we were able to emerge from sin once by obeying the gospel, then we are able to emerge from sin again by following the plan that God has given. And this is important because we recognize the fact that when we look about us in the world and we see all the sin, we see adultery, we see ungodliness, and Paul lists these whole things in the 5th chapter of Galatians, they're not fruits of the Spirit, but they're lust of the flesh. There's those things, the works of the flesh, that are in the lives of people. Now, we got to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Again, I want to make it clear that we're not going to do those things. We're not going to encourage those things. We're going to try to work with people who are guilty of those things and pointing to them what the will of God actually has to offer. But make it very clear that a Christian is not to uphold sin. A Christian is not to follow any violation of God's law. Now, someone says, how are you going to know whether the thing is a sin? Well, first of all, if it's the right thing that God wants us to do, then he will tell us that right thing in his word. Our life is to be filled with things that are right, is to be filled with the thus saith the Lord. Someone says, well, make this more specific so we can understand it. Well, let's take the idea of worship. The disciples are to come together upon the first day of the week to break bread, as we have in Acts 20:7. All right, that takes care of our assembly, let us say, on Lord's Day. We have an appointment with the Lord. Now, to abstain from that without having a justifiable reason for doing it is certainly doing something that we shouldn't do. And the principle is found in James 4:17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So it would be a sin for a person to neglect the assembly upon the first day of the week. Now, I'm not talking about sickness. I'm not talking about something that is justifiable. And, you know, when you get into this area, you've simply got to look at it from this standpoint. You've got to consider what the Bible teaches. But you also have to reason that just as you, as a child growing up, had a pretty good idea what your father and mother believed and what they would say about certain questions, so you've got an idea as you serve the Lord as a Christian and you become better acquainted with him as you go along. You got a pretty good idea whether this thing's right or wrong with the Lord. You can always check the Bible. Well, let's say, take care of the Lord's Day then. Let's go out on our job. Now, what type of people do you work with? I have people telling me that, well, I couldn't convert people that I work with because they're so ungodly. You know, a lot of times people think that it's intelligent, or they think that it's really some great mark to, we might be looked upon as being quite a person from the standpoint of the things they say and the things they do that may be, well, they may just be downright sinful. Now, keep in mind, a lot of times that can be a veneer. People want individuals to look upon them as being someone that's sensational. I think that's why a lot of times why people dress so much differently than other people. They want to be noticed. They want to have attention. And yet maybe down on the inside they're not like that at all. They want to be different. But they just seem to be propelled into this circumstance to follow a course of like that. So don't let this veneer get you down. Now, if these people are telling dirty stories, if they're actually engaging in a lewd way of life, a thing that will retard you or me spiritually, don't go along with that circumstance. You don't have to preach them a sermon. As a man said, a lot of times it's better to live the sermon than to preach it. I want to use a concrete example here. You know, if you try to let your speech and your conduct be within the bounds of the apostles' doctrine, things that would not lower you or lead you away from the Lord or cause you to be looked upon as someone who isn't letting your light shine, if you just go ahead and live the Christian life, setting the example for those about you, I know that you're going to get some ridicule. You're going to get some static from those people. But don't let that bother you either, because that talk may not be very deep. They may not really believe that way down in their heart. You see, don't just look at the point of what you're doing today as either being accepted or rejected. But as time goes on, you see, time is a great factor. And there are people today who may abhor Christianity, who may look down upon the Christian life in a very bad vein. But there may be a time, just like the prodigal, that they already come to themselves. And then they're going to be looking for the stable life. They're going to be looking for that which is going to make them better. And that's where the Christian has an opportunity, not alone by what he says, but by what he does, to lead that soul to Christ Jesus. But the point that we've got to consider is that we must have a good attitude toward the teaching of God's Word. Christians cannot reason negative in their life. Instead of thinking all the time what you can't do, don't be like the children of Israel out there in the wilderness. They just thought about all the good things they missed out in Egypt. And they were thinking about going back in Egypt. That was a negative approach. That was contrary to the will of God. But think about what you can do, what you can say that's right, and fill your life with the truth of God's Word. Don't try to be like the world. Don't try to make a provision for the flesh, but say and do the proper thing and be a genuine, down-to-earth, consecrated Christian every day, letting your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So I believe when Paul gave this teaching to the church at Ephesus, he gave some wonderful teaching for you and for me in our lives today. Again, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And again, I want to say that I believe the best way to reprove this is not alone with our speech, but also with the life that we live. So we've dealt with a question this morning and on the broadcast today that is something probably that, hasn't got as deep as maybe you thought it should, but we want you to think a little bit about this. The course that one follows is indeed a course that is proper or is improper. And we want you to look at the Word of God and let it be your guide. It's been good to be with you. If you have questions about this subject, well, feel free to send them in. We'll try to deal with them if we possibly can. Be with us next week as we close the series of The Christian and the Church. It's been good to be with you. Tell a friend or neighbor about this broadcast, and may God truly bless you this week as you live for Him here, that you might live with Him there.